Good morning. My name is John Waits, and I'm a curate here at St. Margaret's in Chipstead. I'm delighted that you can join us for the Book of Common Prayer, Holy Communion. We start with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. The prayer of preparation. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The summary of the Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy upon us, and write all these thy laws in our hearts, we beseech thee. Almighty God, whose kingdom is everlasting and power infinite, have mercy upon the whole church, and so rule the heart of thy chosen servant, Elizabeth, our queen and governor, that she, knowing whose minister she is, may above all things seek thy honour and glory, and that we and all her subjects, duly considering whose authority she hath, may faithfully serve, honour, and humbly obey her in thee and for thee, according to thy blessed word and ordinance. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost liveth and reigneth, ever one God, world without end. Amen. We now have the collect, followed by the readings. And after that we will have the creed. O God, the protector of all who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong, nothing is holy, increase and multiply upon us your mercy, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal that we lose not our hold on things eternal. Grant this, Heavenly Father, for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever.
The reading this morning is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. This is the word of the Lord.
We say our creed together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us unto Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. and I believe one Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Now we have the sermon.
Welcome. My name is Josh. I'm the Youth and Community Leader here at St. Margaret's Church. We're in the second week of our series on the five marks of mission, and this is looking at how we share the good news of Jesus with others. So this week, week two is teach. Now, I must admit, I had to look up the five marks of mission when I initially heard that I was going to be speaking, and this is the definition I came across. They express the Anglican Communion's common commitment to an understanding of God's holistic and integral mission. The mission of the Church is the mission of Christ. And often when I'm thinking about evangelism and telling others about Jesus, I always think, why do we often think about bringing new believers to our faith as secondary, as some kind of afterthought? I know that in my own life, when I've worked for churches and when I've had office jobs and when I've been a student, often it gets pushed down. The day-to-day habits, practicalities, the jobs I think I need to do, those are the things that get pushed to the front of my mind, and talking about my faith with others gets pushed back. Now, I may think that I'm preaching at people. I may feel self-conscious, or I may feel that my own faith is being judged. But somehow it seems to become a secondary thought. That's a question maybe for myself, but one for us all to think about. And this week, as we think about teaching, we're thinking about teaching, baptizing and nurturing new believers, or educating about our commitment to faith and nurturing to support and grow others. So when I was thinking about the talk, we're after the tell week. These are people who've heard about Jesus, but it's before tend. It's before they have an established or long-term faith with God. In our reading this week from Deuteronomy, the context for it, and I always like to know where we are in the Bible, it is immediately after Moses delivered the Ten Commandments to the Israelites. It's called the Great Commandment, and some Bibles will put that as the title for chapter 6. And it's part of God's covenant with Israel, and Moses outlines who God is and Israel's relationship to God and with each other. So this is foundational in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible. So when we think about the words that are referred to in the reading that we should keep on our hearts, recite with our children, that are talked about and kept in prominent places, we're talking about the commandments. And we're thinking about those words at the start of our reading, which are central to God and God's commandments. So at the start it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone." Here, God has absolute power and authority. This is reassuring to me, and it reminds me that I'm not the main character. God is. And actually, if we're teaching, the secondary character, the supporting actor, is the person who is learning. We are way down the list, and I find that quite reassuring, actually. We're not the one doing the work with the power. Verse 5, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." It starts with loving God, and isn't that the answer to most of our questions about mission? It reminds me of when Jesus is asked, which commandment is the greatest? Jesus replies, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind." And doesn't that sound familiar? He goes on to say, "This is the greatest and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbour as yourself." Now, I've used a passage from Matthew 22, but equally it's in other Gospels as well, and it says the same thing. I find this quote really helpful for most of my questions and a really good kind of test for a lot of things. Love God, and love others as yourself. And actually, finding out that Jesus is referring to our passage today is really interesting. So we go on. In verse 6, it says, "Keep the words that I am commanding you today in your heart." So the love of God is central to all that we do and how that we live. Verse 7, "Recite them to your children and talk about them when you're at home and when you're away, when you lie down and when you rise. Teach our children." What do we teach our children? We teach them the most fundamental things, the things that help them to keep them safe, help them to thrive, help them to grow. And likewise, this is what we should do with the teaching, the love of God, and verse 4 and 5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your might. And likewise, the things that are on our mind, if we keep them on, if we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and might, the things that are on our mind are the things that we tend to think of. The things that have been playing on my mind all day, the things I'll talk about over dinner. We should talk about them with others. Again, when it says home and away, I think, keep it central to who you are, is the message I have. Isn't at home and away from home everywhere. It also makes me think, have it in your habits, your routines, when you're comfortable. And have it when you're trying to get rid of your routines, in your downtime, on holiday. Keep it then too. And when you lie down, when you rise, orientate your day around God. I find there's a stark difference between the days where I start with prayer and end with prayer, and the days where I don't. When I look for God, I call out to God and I start. It might be very simple, very short, but it starts my day reminding me of who God is, and everything I do is guided by God. And then in verse 8, we get this unusual instruction, bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead. This is telling us to make visible reminders for ourselves and others of God's word, God's promises, and who God is. You might like to think of things that you might write on your hand, and I don't know about you, I don't tend to write much on my forehead. But on our hand, we might write a task or a phone number that we cannot forget. But we might not have a piece of paper to hand, so we just write it on our hand. If we don't have a piece of paper or our phone, we might just write a phone number that we've been given, or a task, or something we need to do. Now, coming back to our forehead, I can't think of much that I'd write on my forehead, but I'm thinking about it brings to mind supporters for sports teams. At the moment, national teams, in the Women's European Cup that's going on, with their faces painted in the bright colours of their nation as they support them. Or maybe people at Glastonbury the other weekend. So these people are expressing passionate support for who they believe in and what group they belong to. This is what we're told to do with God's word. And this actually led to some Jewish people wearing little leather boxes containing scrolls from the Torah. Now, we don't have to do that, but this shows you how seriously it was taken, and maybe we should take something from that. And then our reading ends with verse 9. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Again, people literally started placing texts in a box and fixing them to their door frames. So they took it seriously, even if we don't have to take it literally. We also, I feel, are called to make it visible to all we meet and welcome, from our most loved friends and relatives, anyone who we welcome in, to the people who might walk past our houses, walk past us once, everyone from our guests to the postie. We want them to know and see who we are passionate about, who we want to belong to. I'm going to spend a couple of minutes talking about my experience teaching young people, because I think teach our children is a central point of this passage. I want to start with a disclaimer that I'm not a teacher, and I feel uncomfortable with saying that I am. And actually, that gave me a little bit of discomfort when I found out I was speaking about this. My parents were teachers, and I don't feel qualified to call myself one, and have a massive amount of respect for those that teach. When I'm called to share the good news of Jesus with young people, I sometimes worry that my faith can get in the way or isn't enough to convince them, but that's not what teaching means. I'm never the one speaking to others' hearts about Jesus. The most that I am, ever, is the person that they're talking to while the Holy Spirit is at work. And when I realise this, the pressure comes off and I relax. The outcome of our conversation is not down to me. And all I have to do is try prayerfully and faithfully to do my best. Between me and many other brilliant volunteers and youth workers that I work with, we do our best to spread the good news of Jesus. And sometimes this can be having difficult conversations with young people as they figure out the world, perhaps for the first time, and journeying with them. And sometimes, as you may have seen, it involves me putting an After Eight mint on my forehead and wriggling it down my face until I eat some chocolate, and encouraging young people to do the same. Now, young people share a lot of similarities with adults. They are becoming young adults, so their questions are often quite similar. And in the same way, your honesty, openness, and kind of meeting them where they are with their faith in response is exactly, is just as useful as it would be with an adult. However, they are going through a unique time in their life. They're figuring out faith and life on their own, possibly for the first time. And they're thinking often their emotional intelligence develops, or their emotional side of their brain develops before their rational side. So they're using different parts of their brain, so they will do once they're in their sort of 20s. Now, this can mean that they don't have the same sort of barriers that we might have learned as adults. So they're not afraid to ask difficult and big questions. And our current series of Ignite, our 11 to 14s, is based on this. I remember once, I remember a few occasions actually, where young people, on a Wednesday, we run a drop-in for youth after school. They'll have a drink, they'll have a biscuit, and they'll play some games, and occasionally with a milkshake in one hand and a biscuit in the other, someone will ask me a question about the Trinity or the devil or suffering or something, and I have to very quickly take a breath and think about how I'm going to respond. Now, I try to give them the thought and time that they are due, that they is respectful to their question in an answer. And that means not going on for ages, which is something I'm liable to do. Hopefully you don't think that today. And also, it might mean not dismissing the question. I try and give them a bit of my own answer, because I'm really liable to cop out and not really give a concrete answer if they're wanting one. But I also journey with them, and I'm honest when I don't have answers, or when I don't think there is one answer. And that's it. There isn't big questions aren't about big answers. God has big answers. We don't. Journey with them on their question. Ask them what they think and why. Maybe speak a little bit about your own experience with that question, and point them in a direction that will help them journey one step forward with it. So clearly, this passage is not just about young people, not about children, but I thought I'd share that. Teach others. Teach your friends, teach your family, teach your neighbour. Anyone who has asked you a question wants to learn. You can learn as peers, as equals. Doesn't have to be a teacher and student relationship. In our passage earlier that I referenced from Matthew, Jesus says, love your neighbour as yourself. And we found out from Jesus who our neighbour is. Anyone who you want to show the respect and love of God, help them to learn who they are. and you can learn together. And this is where I would encourage you to join a life group if you're not in one already. I really value the fellowship, friendship, a warm drink and time together to bring our faith and to discuss what we think, to do life and faith together. So I'll wrap up with a couple of thoughts. Fundamentally, this starts with loving God. It's about the power of the Holy Spirit. When we teach, we are not the ones doing the changing of hearts. Our own spiritual life is important. It helps us, it prepares us, but you aren't the one doing the work and you're not on your own. Often you can get the help of others too. You can be supported in teaching others and you don't need the answer to everything. I found that honesty of admitting this can actually be really effective too. The Holy Spirit is the one who warms people's hearts to hear about Jesus as well. Remember, this is the step after tell, so you're not going in cold. If you're trying to teach people who haven't even asked about Jesus, it'll be like pushing water uphill. And lastly, I want to talk about our own faith, because our own spiritual life is important. We get this contrast in our passage, the private and the public. We're told to use our heart, our soul, and our might to love God. We're told the words in our hearts when we lie down and we rise, on our hand, when we talk with children and in home, on the doorposts of our house, very private things. Our personal faith. But that supports when we go public, away from home, writing things on our foreheads, having them on the gates of our house. Our personal faith, our spiritual nourishment, feeds us as we go out and prepares the way for us to teach others as a vehicle for the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. All things come of thee, and of thine own do we give thee. Whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother or sister have need, and shutteth up his compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Our intercessions. Let us pray for the whole state of Christ's Church militant here in earth. Almighty and ever-living God, who by thy holy apostle has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all people, we humbly beseech thee most mercifully to receive these our prayers, which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord, and grant that all they that do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word and live in unity and godly love. We beseech thee also to save and defend all Christian kings, princes, and governors, and especially thy servant Elizabeth, our queen, that under her we may be godly and quietly governed, and grant unto her whole council and to all that are put in authority under her, that they may truly and impartially minister justice to the punishment of wickedness and vice, and to the maintenance of thy true religion and virtue. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops, priests, and deacons, that they may, both by their life and doctrine, set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. And to all thy people, give thy heavenly grace, and especially to this congregation, that with meek heart and due reverence they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy great goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succour all them who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. We take a moment to bring before God those whom we would especially commend to him today. And we also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to give us grace so to follow their good examples, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate. Amen. Ye that do truly and earnestly repent of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbours, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and make your humble confession to Almighty God. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all men, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins of wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. We do earnestly repent, and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us, the burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us, have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honour and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, who is great mercy, hath promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what comfortable words our Saviour Christ saith unto all that truly turn to him. Come unto me, all that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. So God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hear also what St. Paul saith. This is a true saying, and worthy of all to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hear also what St. John saith. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. The Lord be with you. And you respond, and with thy spirit. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up unto the Lord. Let us give thanks unto our Lord God. It is meet and right so to do. It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty, everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord most high. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We say together the prayer of humble access. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. You might take a moment now to get some bread and some wine so that you can take this in a spiritual fashion. We know we can't take it physically together, but we can join together spiritually. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, with thy tender mercy, didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there, by his one oblation of himself once offered, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute, and in his holy gospel, command us to continue a perpetual memory of that his precious death, until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood. Who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he gave him thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as often as you shall drink it in remembrance of me. Amen. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, grant us thy peace. Deborah, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is given for thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. Take ye this in remembrance that Christ died for thee, and feed on him in thy body by thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. As our Saviour Christ hath commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The prayer of thanksgiving. Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank thee, for that thou dost vouchsafe to feed us, who have duly received these holy mysteries, with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of thy Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby of thy favour and goodness towards us, and that we are very members incorporate in the mystical body of thy Son, which is also the blessed company of all faithful people, and are also heirs through hope of thy everlasting kingdom, by the merits of the most precious death and passion of thy dear Son. And we most humbly beseech thee, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship, and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom, with thee and the Holy Ghost, be all honour and glory, world without end. Amen. And we join together in worshipping God in the words of the Gloria. Glory be to God on high, and in earth peace, goodwill towards men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee. We give thanks to thee for thy great glory, O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty. O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. Thou sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. So may the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, that of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, be amongst you, your family, your friends, all those whom you love. Be with you today and remain with you always. Amen.